When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor. From time to time, we give you a bonus episode on this podcast feed. This one is called Floor's Yours. It's from Sean Rochester, Timothy Bain, and Tony Schwartz as they go through the NBA and a focus, of course, on the Miami Heat after Christmas week. And now, the latest, Floor's Yours. Down to Biscay.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
What's up, everybody? We are back. I want to make sure I enunciate that correctly, unlike our normal co-host, Brian Fonseca. We are back on Floor is Yours tonight. Join with me tonight, I have Timmy. I got Manny on the ones and twos behind us. Tony will be here any second. To join us. Brian is taking a holiday break. I don't know where he is in New York, but it is what it is. We're going to hold it down, right, Timmy?
We got this.
we have a little bit of a list of things we're going to go through, but it's going to be kind of free flowing. And if you have comments, we'll throw those up there. And if you want to talk about certain things, but we're going to start off by jumping into the Christmas Day games. We're not going to go game by game. You know, let's just talk like overall observations, things you saw, what impressed you, Timmy.
I'm so happy for Dante Exum. Coming out, he was supposed to be this top three player. He got all these injuries, and now he's been the glue. Him and former Heat Derek Jones Jr. have been the perfect two-way players to play with Luka. Like during that game, they said that TJJ has made more threes this season than he's made in his entire career. So I'm happy for two guys who have bounced around to find their fit and making Luka look like an early MVP candidate. So that stuck out to me. And also, I mean, Lakers and Celtics is normal. Nuggets and Warriors, you know. I'm happy for Jaime. He's able to go on that Christmas stage and really show people that like he's him.
Yeah. So I was in Miami, and now I'm back in Philly, which is I went from 80 and sunny to 45 and rainy, which is absolutely freaking ridiculous. But Jaime was incredible, and I mean, I've watched a lot of the games. We've all watched a lot of the games. Seeing him in person was interesting because I could follow him better than when you're on the broadcast, right? Where you're being given a certain angle. And the stuff that he does away from the ball when you're not really supposed to be paying attention to him, he's always in the right spot. He's getting better defensively. Not always in the right spot there, but he plays so damn hard. That's what impressed me the most about him, and just the level of physicality that he plays with at his age is pretty incredible. Obviously the game itself lost a little bit of luster because Joel Embiid wasn't there, Jimmy Butler wasn't there, and then the Heat have other, you know, kind of minor complementary injuries there. But obviously the Heat got a win. In terms of the Dallas game, I did not stay up for that. I unfortunately missed the whole, 56 and 15.
He scored more than Booker and Giddy combined. And it was like, Luka is so good at the D demoralizing FU3s. Like, he just would pull up. Mm-hmm. Like, those were painful. Like, I could see the life leaving KD's eyes every time he pulled up for that.
Yeah, Manny makes a good point. That game was during the Ravens Niners. So between the Heat game and that Luka game, I think a lot of people missed it because they were probably watching football. Let's stay on the topic of the Phoenix Suns, because there's been some news coming out of Phoenix, which may surprise some people, maybe not surprising other people. KD is not happy, which seems to be a trend, depending on, you know, wherever he goes. So what did you take out of that news that KD may not be happy with his situation? And some people were saying he deserves better. Like, how do you feel about that?
It's just so strange. Like, yes, he's always played with top whatever players, and maybe he isn't used to being the man, whatever, right? But it's like, you're 35, you're having arguably one of your best seasons ever. And it's understandable that Bradley Beal has been hurt. Like, you gave up some assets, some depth to get Bradley Beal. So I'm just so confused as to why all of a sudden KD's now putting on a ticking timer for what? It's not like they've been completely healthy and have been losing. So I thought that there would be some kind of understanding that, you know, you guys greenlit this trade for Bradley Beal, even though he had the injury history, and all of a sudden it's been an issue. So that's just – and it hasn't been said by anyone else yet, so I don't know that this was like some internet smoke, but it's confusing to me. Beal has barely played. Yeah.
It is, you're 100% right. Beal's played like two games, I think yeah, played like, and
really finished really one and a half really one right one and a half he didn't finish yeah. the second game.
And you know, I know obviously early in the summer before the Dame thing, he was the guy we thought, you know, and then we saw the price tag and we were all disappointed. And this is, I don't want to say it's not surprising, because that's another human being, right? We don't want to like wish ill upon him, but it's also not surprising, because as basketball fans, we've seen Bradley Beal be hurt, it seems like, every single
time and time and time and time again.
So, like, to your point, KD being upset or he deserves better, what exactly did they think was going to happen when you have three huge contracts? I really four if you include Nurkic. Right. You knew you weren't going to have a lot of money to spread out for the depth. They actually, I think, did a pretty darn good job of filling out the roster.
But those guys haven't really played up to the summer of greatest player, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Those guys haven't played, like Utah. I don't think Utah's even played yet. So maybe, I don't know if he's disappointed in the role players not playing up. But again, they're role players for a reason. They're not games. Just like how the Thomas Bryant thing, like Miami fans always argue over the backup center. Like, it's the backup center position. Like, so yeah, it's just very confusing. Like, what did you expect, Kevin Durant?
Yeah, and
I do think it's worth monitoring, especially with the deadline coming. I don't think it's an actual trade again or something like that, but maybe you see Bradley Beal gets flipped sooner. Like, maybe he gets sent to a Charlotte for Hayward and a Rozier. Like, that's what I could see. Maybe that's where this trends. Like, people are saying, oh, another team. No, I think it's more so his patience with Beal maybe is up. And then they use that
Beal contract. And they don't have a lot of assets. Yeah. They don't have a lot of assets. That's the only thing. Like, they have to do things that they can move from their roster, because their pick allotment is basically gone. You know, they use that to get those guys. So I don't know, like, you could move Nurkic's salary, and if you were going to go without a center somehow, or you were going to play one of those role players, but Nurkic has another year on his contract. You're not moving that without two years. Yeah. You're not moving that without attaching a pick. So, you know, I do think though, if Phoenix can get things gelled, those three guys on the floor for a decent amount of time, they're still a dangerous playoff.
Yeah. I have no fear. That's why I said the whole Durant thing was like confusing. Like, the man has played one game. He hurt his ankle in the second one. Like, what's really happening, Durant? But I do think maybe it's a precursor for maybe a Beal trade. Maybe. Possibly.
And Donut Dan, Manny, if you can put that comment back up. Obviously, he has that no trade clause. And that was one of the things that made his value or his price tag so low, because, you know, he could control that and the years in terms of people not necessarily wanting to take on that length of contract. So, we know, Tony, as you come in, we've talked a little bit about Christmas Day games, so we'll get your thoughts on what you saw on Christmas. But also, we kind of started zooming in on the Phoenix Suns and just the rumors about people you know, people not being happy there, whether it's KD, whether it's Beal, what's going on there. So we'll kind of put a cap on the Suns talk because we've done that for probably too much time. Tony, what did you see on Christmas Day? And thank you for being on time, even if you were just a few minutes late.
Yeah, yeah. Late but on time, you know. You should show up early, just late. It was a fun game, a fun day of games. I thought that the Celtics kind of stamped themselves as when things are working right, they are the best team in basketball. They're the 49ers of the NBA. And that's kind of how I felt about them for a little bit. Now they get in their own way, the same way the 49ers do. They stamped that. Really appreciated some of the effort from guys like Luka Doncic to make that a night, to show out at that platform in that moment. Same thing with the Heat victory coming out of that game with a win on that day was pretty big. Stars showing up when the moment mattered. That was really cool to see. It was a great slate of NBA games. Mix that in with some NFL football. I had a really good time that day. But you didn't learn too much. At least I didn't feel like I did. I learned that the Celtics are probably the best team in basketball right now. Just when they don't get in their own way, which sometimes they do regardless.
And it's so funny, right? So I watched basketball with my mom, right? And she saw the six wins. They only lost six games? Are they that good? So just getting that reaction from my mom was interesting.
It's funny.
Yeah, we'll circle back to them if we start looking, you know, even more forward. But right now, they're the class of the East. I think everybody would agree with that. And then Milwaukee, and then teams start falling in place there with the Sixers, the Heat, and so on. Great comment about Jason Tatum being Brock Purdy. I don't know. Maybe Jalen Brown is Brock Purdy if you're thinking that Brock Purdy is fraudulent. And I will also say goodbye to my Brock Purdy 16-1 MVP ticket that I should have cashed out early and did not. I thought I was going to get that 16-1. Anyways, speaking of
Kittle has two Porzingis, right?
That's true. That's true. Speaking of bad tickets, let's talk about another bad thing, and that's the Detroit Pistons. They have now lost 27 games in a row.
Yeah.
It is absolutely incredible. I referenced this, yeah, an NBA record. They broke the record last night against the Nets. I mentioned this, and I'm going to get your guys' take on this. I mentioned on the timeline last night, my first varsity coaching job, I lost my first 23 games. My first season, we went winless. Inherited nothing. Monty has a whole lot more than I had. But we were able to turn it around pretty quick, and I don't know if Detroit can do that. And I don't know if Monty's the right guy for the job either. So I'll start with Timmy. What do you think about this whole Detroit situation? 27 losses in a row, and looking ahead, and we're going to talk about the schedule in a second. It is, Boston's on deck, Toronto, and then a West Coast trip. It's not going to get easier for Detroit.
So I said it all summer, and I love their prospects, but no one on that team can shoot. And say what you want about it. Spacing matters, shooting matters. And Cade is, I like Cade, the boy I can't shoot. Ivy did some things last year, but Monty does this thing where he bets plays and doesn't talk to them. So he took away Ivy's confidence. Hayes didn't play for the last 2 to 3 years because he can't shoot, but he's a defender, so Monty did that. Stewart, bless his soul, added a shot this year. Durant can't shoot, so it's like I'm not even as shocked because I love Asar, like that boy is good, but no one on this team can shoot in the year of our Lord 2023. You cannot field out a 5-man roster where only one or two players can spread the floor. You just cannot do it. And I don't know if Monty is just going to like hold firm and be like, no, we can play big players and just no. And honestly, looking at the roster, I don't know what you do. Maybe you start Cade and Burks and Bogey and another shooter and Stewart or Durant just to get the offense flowing some more. But then again, you reduce your talent. But at this point, playing your talented players, all these minutes is not going to work. You're going to start playing fit. So I think that's the issue. They're pushing talent, but the pieces just do not fit. Like, it's very painful. And then also, it's they were up by, like, 5 with 6 minutes left.
They definitely find ways to lose games.
Lose, right.
There's no doubt about that.
So yeah, they were up five, and like I don't know if that brain just cuts off during with a lead. Like, okay, that's like how can we lose this game? So it's, I don't think this is a fireable offense because he did inherit a bad roster. I'm not saying a bad roster, a poorly fitting roster, but this was going to go down as one of the worst losing streaks ever. Like it already is, but I foresee it going much, much longer.
Yeah, before I swing it to Tony, you know, the one thing to keep in mind is he took that team in Phoenix and really nurtured and brought up that group. Like he's done this before. He also did it in New Orleans. He brought that group up. Like I think he's a good coach. I just think he's the wrong person for this job. And I just wonder, because remember, they paid him big money to go there. I don't think you can get rid of him. Like, I don't think that's the solution. And I'm gonna throw it to Tony, and then let's come back to like, what do you do? And we'll talk a little bit about what their roster looks like. How do you trade and things like that? Yeah, Manny's got the schedule up there. If you can't see the Reds are all L's. Those are all losses. That looks like it looks like one of my fantasy teams, to be honest with you. But Tony, what do you think about this whole Detroit situation?
First of all, macro view, one of the funnest streaks in NBA history. I am loving it. I'm tuning into every Detroit game with a buddy of mine, and we are just praying for losses. This is more destructive than any year of the Philadelphia 76ers process season. I think that we have to credit Monty Williams, this alternative take, with one of the best tanking jobs ever executed in NBA history. It's incredible. Timmy's right. It's a weird fitting team. There's too much youth and not enough veteran talent that can do multiple things on the basketball floor. You know, the couple of vets that they have are kind of lot. I think Bojan's an incredible talent. He's a connected passer. He can be a facilitator for you, a pick and roll operator, a 3-point shooter. Right now, he's the best 3-point shooter on the team in volume. Isaiah Stewart has been that guy with like a 40% 3-point rating for like a majority of the season. Good for him. Problem is you can't play him with your other young guys like Durin and Thompson and Bagley. Isaiah Livers, Jaden Ivey. I go through the list here. Killian Hayes, Alex Burks. None of these dudes are really shooting effectively this year. And a lot of those guys that we just mentioned are off-ball players. And not off-ball players in ways that impact anything when it comes to offensive versatility. So why do they lose games down the stretch? They don't know what the hell they're doing. They put the ball in Cade's hands, and they're all just cutting off of each other, hoping that something good is going to happen. And it doesn't, because you're playing an NBA defense, not a YMCA squad. So, you know, they just need some vets on that team. I think that there's an ability to restructure some of this and make it all work, because I do like Monty Williams as a coach. But the message of dig deep and fight for your brothers only works when those guys know what the hell they're doing on the basketball court. Right now, they have no clue, and they haven't been together long enough with that coach to develop a process. So, you know, it's to me, it's fun watching them lose. I'm here for it, because I'm really loving one of the best tank jobs in history.
It's crazy, and Manny, I'm apologizing because I didn't realize that Spotrac had an endless amount of pop-ups. You're working overtime doing that.
Crazy.
They're more active than the Pistons defense right now, those pop-ups are. Like Bogdanovich, I saw someone in the comments, Donut Dan just said, you know, Bogdanovich, like he had a lot of value last year. He's on technically an expiring contract because the next year is very little guaranteed, only $2 million guaranteed, so you could get yourself out of that. Joe Harris, $20 million expiring. Like, what you can, like, you could use those to take on contracts that people may not want.
Have you seen the rumors?
What do you guys see here? Like, what do you do on this roster? Like, how do you fix what's the problem?
So they're looking at Miles Bridges and Tobias Harris. Like, I don't know if you want to add Miles Bridges to this team.
Yeah, he could. He could definitely, you know, beat up a losing streak if he got his mind on it. I mean, Brian's not here, but we still got jokes. I mean, he's known to swing on a I don't know. Oh, never mind. Anyways,
he finishes with either hand too, ambidextrous.
Yeah, he does for sure. I mean, like, I don't feel like you would move. I like Jalen Duren. I like what Sasser was doing earlier in the season. Like Isaiah Stewart, he seems like a guy that you could get value for. I don't think like long term you can't move him. Like,
did you know they call them their bomb?
Okay,
they call Stewart their bomb. Yeah. The heart and soul.
Epke Udo is our BAM too, I guess. But like Killian Hayes, I'd trade him if I could get a second for him. I mean, he's going to have to get extended this summer. I think I would hang on to Jaden Ivey and Asar Thompson because they're too young to like let them go. I mean, you've invested in them. Monte Morris, same thing, expiring contract. Alec Burks, expiring contract. Like whatever you can get for those guys. But I don't think I would necessarily add a bunch of salary long term because I don't know if that's what's going to get me. Like, get me right. Like, I don't want a bunch of veteran guys. I don't want, like, Gordon Hayward to, like, fix me up in Detroit. Like, what's that going to do? Win me 10 games or something like that? Like, it just – I don't know. Like, what you do, you just try to continue to pile assets. But they've been piling assets for a while, and it's not getting them anywhere.
Yeah, so maybe I think the best thing they're going to try to try to get a better fitting for – and you said that they have almost $40 million just in expiring. So maybe they do get a – and Tobias is about $39 million, so it's pretty clean to go get Tobias. And for what it's worth, they said he is a good vet to some younger guys. So let's just say you get Tobias Harris, that gets you maybe with seven more wins, than you would have gotten. Maybe you build up the vibes better. Maybe, and like Tony said, Tobias doesn't want anything, but maybe he imparts some type of knowledge on them. And maybe that's the goal. You get a four who can also be a bit of a vet.
He played in Detroit before, too, I think.
He did.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German engineered blades made in their own factory. So they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer, and also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, we probably spent way too much time on the Pistons. That's probably the most time anyone's talked about the Pistons in NBA media. So congratulations to us. They're 15th in attendance, which is great. I actually went back in like 04, 05, 06, when we had that rivalry with the Pistons, I went to a lot of games. In that time, it was the Palace at Auburn Hills. It was a very good crowd. Like, their basketball up there is something that they enjoy, and it's, you're right, like, they do deserve better. Nobody deserves to watch a team that's lost 27 games in a row. I mean, that's terrible. So we'll move off of the Pistons. Something a little bit more exciting, and a return of Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. I do not believe have a loss, right? 4-0?
4-0.
Since he's returned? And two of those games being buzzer beaters. And you guys, I'm just going to send it to you, because that's what I was going to go to. Great segue for those on the podcast. We have Timmy and Tony flashing fake weapons. So
my issue is this, right? It's not guns, guys. It's a New Orleans dance, right? But Ja needs to understand the type of thread that he is walking on. Like, you don't come back from suspension. You come back from and do a dance that could be interpreted as gun fingers. Luckily, Bleacher Report and other sites were on his side and posted the LSU. It's basically an LSU dance. It is kind of cold for Ja to catch a lob in New Orleans and do LSU dance. That was dope. But if that turned the wrong way today, that would have been pretty bad for their good vibes. My fear in the summer. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was going to say, to your point, you know that there are certain people, certain parts of the media that are looking for anything that Ja does. He flips on his Instagram Live to show that he's walking puppies across the street. They're going to be like, oh, why is he on Instagram Live again? He shouldn't do that. There was a thing about his dad saying that he's keeping the same friends, and I saw people reacting to that. Like, what are we doing? Like, he's a human being. Like, maybe you can question his friends, but you don't know his friends. Like, there's right. So many layers to this that, like, let's just chill out with telling a guy what he should or shouldn't do.
Yeah. So I like the 4-0 run. My only fear during the summer was three of your best players are now 6'3", 6'3", and 6'4" with dinosaur arms. So how does Ja, Smart, and Bain get you past Clippers and Denver? So that's what I'm looking. I was waiting for John to come back to see. I do like the talent, but I don't think you could win with Bane, Garden, Kawhi, or MPJ. You know, that's going to be a disaster.
Tony, what do you think about the Ja return, Memphis Grizzlies, and their potential, I guess, now being not whole because they have so many injuries, but with Ja back?
Yeah, we touched on it a little last week. He's talented enough to take them wherever they need to go against teams, like Timmy just said, that aren't big enough or they're not big enough to play. Like, they're just going to lose those games. And I'm talking mediocre size. Mediocre teams with good size will kill them. It's just they can't rebound the ball well enough yet as it sits right now, and they can't create enough possessions for themselves to do anything. But they can win enough games against, you know, lengthy teams that are smaller. They can win enough games against teams that are small in the first place, like Golden State and sometimes Miami, depending on how many people want to show up to work. They can win games here, but I think they have an opportunity. It's a good story for Ja to continue, you know, player of the week, that whole thing, and then continue to develop his legend, because coming back the way he did was a hallmark moment. I think they're in a great position to add a lottery pick to this core. You know, they're not competing for a championship this year, no matter how right they get. I don't care if everybody comes back and they have some guys coming back and everybody should be back by All-Star break, save Steven Adams. I don't care if everybody comes back. Like, they should be trying to get this lottery pick, add it to this great young core, retool, reload, and go in the next season as hard as you can. But I think it's tough because Ja has competitive fire. And what do you do with a guy like that? You know, he's going smart to get well. The wins. Yeah. I mean, smart too. And you paid him money. So it's tough to just bench that and sit on that.
And I think it would be hard to go the route. I see Van Lee in the comments and other people talking about flipping Marcus Smart, yeah. Which I do. I think that would be a smart move. No pun intended. But if you start selling guys off and you take away from that competitive drive of Ja, who wants to push into the playoffs, and he's going to believe in his mind, no matter who you have with him, the four on the floor with him are going to be able to be good enough for him to compete. If you try to, I don't want to say tank, but you intentionally aren't trying to necessarily win games and you want to get that lotto pick because you think in the long run that's going to help you the best, that's where, like, I don't know, you get stuck in that middle of competing versus what's best for the franchise. You know,
you saw it happen with them. You just saw it happen with them. You know, learn from others' mistakes.
Yeah, and to Van Lee's last two comments here, I think Memphis could beat OKC because I think they're lengthy, but they don't have a lot of size as it sits right now, and they're getting Clark back, yes. But will that matter? Like, are they going to beat the Lakers the way that they
look? I'm sorry, Tony. I don't agree with you. I think OKC would smoke the Grizzlies.
I'm with it. Oh, you're going to get a fight from me. I'm just saying the matchup, you know, it's possible.
And OKC is going to be like last year with the Kings, that people are going to doubt them until they show in the playoffs that they can actually be that team. So let's segue with that. Like, let's talk kind of moving forward. We're at about the 1/3 mark. I mean, the Heat have played 30 games, so it's a little bit more than that. But, like, what do you guys – let's look at the West first. You know, the standings-wise, you have the Timberwolves up at the top. They've created a little bit of a gap between them and Denver. And then it's Denver, OKC. The Clippers have came on strong. You know, they started off a little slow, but now the Clippers are in the fourth seed, tied with Dallas, who's playing right now. I saw in the comments, Luka Doncic, 20 points in the first quarter against the Cavs. Then you got the Kings. Yeah, it's crazy what he's doing. Kings, Pelicans, Rockets, Lakers, Warriors, Suns aren't even in the play-in right now. And then I would say after that, I mean, we just talked about the Grizzlies, but I think the Jazz, Blazers, and Spurs will start to fade away. So you're really looking at 12 teams. What do you guys – I mean, like, we can talk about the top. We can talk about the bottom. Like, the West is going to be a crazy interesting thing to see play out. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be weird shit that happens along the way. But, like, what have you seen in the first third of the season from the West that, you know, has impressed you or think that is going to be a negative going forward? We'll start with Tony this time.
I think a lot that's impressed me is Minnesota is consistently, and I got a lot of shit early on these shows, not loving Minnesota, but they have a versatile attack, man. They play defense just well enough to be, they're going to be a pain in the ass in the playoffs. And Greg's point about they haven't won a lot yet. They have to go through heartbreak. I hear that, but they've impressed me. Denver's still really solid. With true contenders like Denver, I'll wait to judge them until we get later in the year. OKC, I think, has potential to drop here. And the Clippers coming on has been impressive. Dallas staying five has been really impressive. And then from the rest of it, it's a lot of concerns, you know. I think the Sacramento sneaking up on people and the way they play with pace and the connective passing, I think that time is kind of done. Everybody knows how they're going to play defense against them and how to isolate Sabonis in situations. The Pelicans are weird. Houston's weird. Can LA win enough games to stay out of the play-in? Golden State's starting to come on. So what does that mean for Phoenix? And I think we kind of debated about Utah. That's a little bit of a wash. But you have these teams at the bottom, I think, have opportunities now. Like Phoenix, the Lakers, and Golden State, all three of them won't stay where they are. Who's the one that's going to like get their shit together enough to win enough games and come up? And when they come up, who's going down? I'm kind of looking at that Sacramento-Houston range right there. Those three teams, they're those 17 wins, they don't feel as strong as some of the Lakers' wins. They don't feel as strong as some of Golden State's recent stretches. So it's a lot of – those squads, a lot of question marks.
Timmy, what's your impressions on the West so far?
So I do agree with Tony. As much as I was a fan of everything Houston did this summer, I do think they will fade and not to their fault. Like I like with Brooks as that team, Van Vliet. I was a big fan of Jabari. Sengonis averaging 25-5. Like, solid team.
With the worst body language I've ever seen in my life. Ever. His 25 is so crazy because he looks very like nonchalant. Ass on defense.
Oh, very boy. Nonchalant. But I do think just based on who was up around below them, they will be the ones to drop because we know the Lakers and clutch. A trade will happen. It might be LaVine, but a trade will happen. Golden State, you can't count them out. And who knows what happens. Like, Wiggins has been sick. Draymond's in counseling. Chris Paul is doing the best he can. And like Tony said right before Tony came, I mean, sorry, Sean said before Tony came, the Suns will get Beal back and they'll get it together. So just based on what I'm looking at now, as simple as the Suns replacing the Rockets, I could see end up as a 10th seed. Or the Grizzlies might do enough to get to the 10th seed. They might do just enough. So yeah, sorry, Rockets. I think they would be the ones they eventually fade. I like that the Wolves have taken on Ant's personality. It seems like he, even if he might not be the loudest voice, like maybe Cat and Gobert are older, I think they have taken on Ant's personality. And the Clippers, like I said it when people were saying, oh, it's not going to work. Those guys are just too smart for it not to work. And I do think they will make one more trade because Tucker is not happy. Even though he should be happy, he's getting all that money at age 40. I think they will. They'll get Plumlee back. I think they'll trade Tucker for something. I'm not sure what. But it's a dogfight, man. It's a wild, wild west for a reason. You know, the OGs, LeBron and Curry, I feel like they're starting to feel for the time. And I think the Kings will finally make like sneaky Raptors trade, like get a Siakam or OG. But yeah, I mean, Murray has been hurt, but I've learned, especially in the finals, to never count out the Nuggets. But it's competitive. Like you never have an off night. And you said earlier, Luka is not playing the same sport that these guys are playing. Luka is on a different planet right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. The West is going to be, I think, you know, the East, the bottom of the East is bigger in terms of teams that you're not really worried about, as opposed to the West, where it's just three teams and there's not enough spots for all these teams that you all would consider to be good teams, or at least, you know, playoff type teams. So we'll skip over the East for tonight just because of time, but we're going to throw up a couple comments. So if you have anything else you want us to talk about, throw it in the comments. But I starred five. If Manny, if you want to throw a couple of those up, and we'll send them around to the panel to talk about. I'll go with the first one. Ronald Fonte says, I know we've been injured, but what's our record? I'm assuming he's talking about the Heat against contending teams. The eye test says we're winning the easy ones and dropping the contender games. Well, obviously I know we just won a game against the Sixers. I know we'll put an asterisk there because, you know, Joel wasn't there. What's our next best win? Orlando? Lakers? I'm trying to think of any other.
The Orlando game was really good for us. The Cleveland-Chicago games were also really good wins, but, I mean, our guys aren't showing up to work when we play big games, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Nets, you know, they're somewhere in the middle. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point. Like, yes, we have, but you know what? To the past years, those are games that those Heat teams lost. And we seem to be taking care of business against those pretty good teams. Tony, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, sure. What do we got? Let me get back to the screen. Coaching, questionable Sox selection question. The depth is going to be a question. I mean, but saying that we think Boston isn't good, and I rolled my eyes at you earlier, Van Lee, I'm sure you saw. They just are, man. They're just talented. You need like seven guys to go to war with, eight guys to go to war with in the playoff series. The question becomes like, it's too, like you guys saw what Kristaps Porzingis looked like outside of that lineup, and they went right back to old Boston. The thing is, Kristaps Porzingis doesn't have the Boston, like he doesn't have the stink on him yet. He doesn't know that they like to beat themselves when the game matters. He doesn't know it yet. So he's kind of balling out and he looks really good. But, you know, that team's a Kristaps stub toe away from going right back to where they were before. And I think Derek White's explosion has been great. It shows you how versatile that player is. He's still not a 30-point-a-game guy. But, you know, you have a guy like that to get a stretch like this. But that'll settle down to earth in the playoffs, and that injury screws them too.
Hey, Mazzulla's still the coach, right?
Yep, still there.
All right, we're good. We're good. Timmy, take the next one.
I don't know if we're getting him, but Murray is one of my favorite point guards in the league. I hate that he is a shooter, but he's a dog. Like, I hate what he's become in Atlanta. I think Trey just brings down the level of competition with who he plays with because he doesn't pass. But I'm not one of those Heat fans who think that we need like another all-star. I think we just need like another good role player. That's my personal opinion. Murray would be nice, but I no longer want to trade Duncan Robinson. I'm sorry. Like, that boy good.
What would be your ideal places for a DeJounte Murray trade? Like, as someone that appreciates his game, where would you like to see him go to so he could flourish besides Detroit? I'm just kidding.
But the issue with you know what? I actually could see him because CJ is not a point guard. I'd like to see him in New Orleans.
That's a long team already. He's got long arms. I mean, that's I like that.
New Orleans would probably be my pick for him.
That would be interesting. I know that there's been some Lakers buzz, but that's like the Heat every time
that's,
there's somebody.
And that's like that's always the clutch. Anyone who signs the clutch always gets the rumor to go to the Lakers.
All right, let's do one more comment if you got any more, Manny, and we'll get ourselves out of here. I think this is when we were talking about the Pistons. Hungry mid-level player looking for their own team and wanting to get paid. OG, Caleb Martin, someone like that, Klay Thompson.
As a Bahamian, I'm letting you know now, that boy Klay is not accepting less than $25 million. You could put that as a scoop. That boy wants money. That boy is not ready to work for no vet minimum or no mid-level. Klay is looking for money. And that's very close to the sauce.
I tell you what, that's going to be the story to monitor. We talked about the West and pieces moving and teams moving. That, you know, they say dynasties don't just, like slowly fade away. They crash and they burn. Mm-hmm. That's coming soon for the Warriors. I still think they can get it together if they do certain things, but I also can see that thing just blowing up and being a disaster and, you know, guys leaving and what the hell is going to happen next. But we appreciate you guys for coming in. Timmy, Tony, we threw this together at the last minute, Brian being on holiday. But we appreciate everybody coming in here tonight. Manny doing the producing. We'll be back next week, continuing
we'll
on
see
with
you
our
next,
shows.
Next year. We'll see you next year.
Next year, exactly. 2024. Last show. We didn't get to our New Year's resolutions for teams and players or even ourselves, which is probably good to keep that off the air. But we thank you guys. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.